Our guest today, Aaron Bibelhauser. Aaron's been a guest on Unreal Bluegrass several times for several different reasons. He now has a brand new band that's come out of the pandemic, as he describes it, Wolfpin Branch. We're going to hear from that band, a release from 2021, Nary, and we're going to talk to Aaron about the band, who's in it, how it came to be, and we will finish the conversation with Burning the Midnight Oil, also from Wolfpin Branch. Thanks so much for tuning in. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great song, Nary, from Wolfpin Branch. If you listen to this program enough, you know this fellow very well from his interviews on this show. His guesting is great content, and he's just a great musician and a great singer and a great composer. I have on the phone with me Aaron Bibelhauser.
Howdy, howdy. How you doing, Steve?
How have you been, man? It's been too long.
It's been a long time, man. And we always joke that we're not that far apart from each other, but we...
Not the way the crow flies.
We still managed to have to have a hard time getting together.
Not the way the crow flies, but the way the traffic crawls. Sometimes we're much further than 80 minutes. And now that we're coming out of winter, I hope we're coming out of the winter when we record this, and we'll get together, and either you'll come up or I'll go down, and we'll meet in the middle and just hit lunch and chat for a while. It's so good to hear from you, and always good music from
you. One of my fellow Kentuckians.
Absolutely. There's a lot of us. Well, tell me about the Wolfpin Branch. The Nary was a song that's been released already, but we've had you on in different capacities with different performers and people guesting on. But let's talk about Wolfpin Branch. Who makes up the band, and where did it come from?
Yeah, so Wolfpin Branch is a new band. Kind of came out of the pandemic, actually, the first round of that. But a new band of familiar faces within the Kentucky and regional music scene. It started out as a duo between my friends Archer Hancock and Chris Schaus, both of which, those guys were both frontmen for their own bands years ago. Chris was the lead singer and guitar player from the 23 String Band.
Oh, sure. Gosh, I remember him.
And Arthur Hancock, of course, was the voice of the Wooks for many years before he struck out on his own. And anyway, the band formed out of a duo between the two of those guys, and it wasn't very long before, they were playing local dates around, private events and opening slots for bands around the region, and it didn't take long before they assembled a crew of regular co-conspirators, we might say. And I was lucky enough to join in on some of that. Roddy Puckett is the bass player. He also a familiar face around Kentucky. He's played a lot of rock and roll music and bluegrass music, folk music and otherwise, throughout the last couple of decades. He's now residing in Winchester, Kentucky.
For the listeners, that's near Lexington.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And we're all spread out. We say we're a Kentucky band. I'm the only one from Louisville, Kentucky here. Arthur is living in Frankfort, but he's originally from Paris, Kentucky, Bourbon County. And Chris is living in Richmond, but he's originally from Owsley County, out in the middle of the mountains. And then we started originally, as a matter of fact, you heard the fiddle playing there on Nary, was Katie Penn playing the fiddle, and she's a Kentuckian also, obviously a familiar face to bluegrass
music.
Absolutely. She also plays with Alan Bybee.
Alan Bybee, she's playing with Alan Bybee right now. Katie is one of the wonderful singer, but I always thought her right hand, and I say this like I know, but I feel like her right hand is so strong on playing the fiddle.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
We were lucky to have her from the inception of this band. But eventually she got too busy with other bands, and we really lucked out because one of my biggest heroes on the planet is a fiddler from southern Indiana over here named Jeff Guernsey. And he's since joined in taking fiddle duties in the Wolfpin Branch, and he just brings a lot of wisdom and a lot of humor to the group, and he's just a great addition to the band. And of course we miss Katie, and we were in between a rock and a hard place, but boy, we really lucked out having one of the greatest fiddlers that I've ever known to jump in with us and want to play music with us. So, Lucky to have Jeff around, too.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great sound. Everything you've done that I've known of, unless you're hiding the bad ones, has always been a great sound. It always has a great blend. It always has a great blend and great musicianship. And so Wolfpin Branch, to my ears, has that same quality to it. And I'm thrilled for what you're doing now. And you know, here's the thing is, you know, Katie left to join Alan Vibier, just got busy. And there's so many people in Kentucky, because Katie was from that part also, not Louisville, but more like the Lexington area, I think of her. And by the way, people who are listening in, Kentucky is a strange, long state, east to west. I mean, you have to change.
You got the first part right.
Well, it's so long from east to west that the eastern part doesn't know anything about that far west, which might as well be St. Louis.
Right.
You know, it's so far away, and it's so wide.
And then there's the divide between rural and suburban, you know.
Absolutely.
It's so different. But there is some elements of bluegrass music in general, that unite all of those regions. And certainly the band is sort of a little microcosm.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Tell me about the song Mary. It's not Mary. And I want to make sure I'm saying this correctly so people can hear me. But it's not a woman's name. The song is Nary, which in my mind, I think I know what the word means, but I want you to explain what it's about.
Well, it's like I told them to bring me my money, but nary a one of them had a dollar bill.
That's right. That's right.
that's the best way I could use the word.
It's kind of like nearly none. It's a combination of none, nearly, or not any, or something, but yeah, nary.
I mentioned earlier that Chris Schaus was from the foothills of the mountains there in the eastern part of the state, southeastern part of the state, and he wrote that song Nary, so he certainly brought a little bit of that hillbilly into that song, and it's a really cool tune. What I love about that song is the big trio harmony vocals, and it sounds like an old song. It's a brand, you know, it's a brand new song.
It does sound
and
like
it sounds
an old
like
song.
Something Jimmy Martin would have recorded in
absolutely.
The 1960s or something.
Yeah, it does. It does. And now that you've explained the author, it does have that eastern. It didn't connect with me until you just said it. But yeah, it makes perfect sense. Bring all those, you know, Bill Monroe brought all those sounds in together, and he even dipped down into Memphis a little bit in New Orleans, but he brought the mountain sound and the fiddle music and everything together, and, you know, it wound up being called bluegrass. So I to me, bring it all in. Bring it all in, reshape it, reform it, and fit it under that bluegrass term, because it all fits. And then you got to have his great songs, got to have great material, great singers, great players, and Wolfpin Branch has all of those things.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your kindness and all your support. Spending our new music, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, you mentioned about the band forming during the pandemic, which I think we're coming out of the second wave. I don't know, and I don't care to predict anymore. But so what were you writing? Was that more conducive to, or could you only just write songs if there was no place really to perform?
Well, that's an interesting. I think everybody kind of took it their own way. And for me, as far as the writing goes, I had a hard time writing in the beginning of this. But during the summer of 21, I picked up a lot on writing. I wrote like crazy. But I think it was just a matter of life changes going on and sort of lived experience informing the creative process more than it was anything to do with the pandemic.
Okay.
But the elements of the pandemic that helped form this band was the simple fact that everybody's schedule was cleared during 2020.
Oh, you know? You're right.
And everybody's schedule was cleared, and we all had our own bands. I had a band that I played here with my twin brother Adam and some guys for almost two decades.
Yeah.
And we kind of just, everything came to a screeching halt. And of course, I was really itching to make some music, and Arthur was really itching to make some music. He had left his previous band quite a while before that, and same thing with Katie. She was dead in the water as far as her schedule goes, and that same applies for Jeff as well. Jeff Guernsey is a educator, so all of his schedule sort of got cleared. He's a music teacher, and everybody's schedule was cleared. So we were just really itching to make music, and I mean, in many ways, as many artists are, it's such an integral part of who we are that if we don't get to make some music in some form or fashion, I'm no longer me. You know, so
I think that's very legitimate. I think this is why I kind of, by the way, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to one of my best friends in the music business and a wonderful musician, singer, Aaron Bibelhauser. But I think that as we all went through that, there was a period of, well, what do I do now? And it got on top of a lot of us in a lot of different ways because the people who performed like you couldn't perform. So that's a big part, not just of making or the writing, but not performing is just a huge chunk out of your person after you've done it for so long. You don't have that experience anymore. It must be so hard.
You're exactly right. And we really are very fortunate that we all sort of came together at the same time, members of Wolf Pan Branch, because there's a lot of personality, there's a lot of strong personalities in this band, and what's remarkable about it is there's really not a lot of ego getting in each other's way. I think because we were all carrying the load as front people for our own bands for so long, all of a sudden we're in this dynamic group where everybody's carrying their own weight and doing behind-the-scenes stuff. As you know, it's more than just making music. There's a lot of work to be done behind the scenes, and we all do our part, and the dynamics change. Like traditionally in any band that I've been in, I've either been the main singer or the high harmony singer, and in this band everybody's roles are sort of naturally gravitating in other directions. I play the banjo and sing usually the low part when the chorus comes around, and if it's a song that I sing lead on, we just switch to the old Jim and Jesse McReynolds move where we just switch parts when the chorus comes around. But it's interesting that all of that stuff came together in such a way that created this new dynamic for each of us. Arthur now playing guitar, he was a banjo player for many years, and he developed a focal dystonia that limited his fine motor skills in his right hand, and he's playing great bluegrass guitar.
For the listener, that's also called the musician's nightmare. I mean, it is because it's not a nerve impingement issue. It's not that you, but from using that over and over, the signal isn't going from your brain to your fingers.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the biology behind it as much as Arthur could tell us, but he's adapted and he's figured out a way to make music. He's playing guitar, playing great rhythm guitar, singing.
Good.
Singing great lead stuff, and he delivers songs in such an authentic way, and he has the ability to sing way up in the stratosphere, sing the high parts with a real big, big, powerful voice. And, we're lucky to have each other around.
Well, let me ask you this, and I want you to lead into the song we're going to introduce, which is doing so well in just a bit, Burning the Midnight Oil, but you mentioned the dynamics. And it's an interesting point. I didn't think to ask you about this. When you have people that have basically led their own band for a while, and all of a sudden you're part of a unit, and maybe you aren't the same part, maybe Arthur isn't the same part, or somebody else. So with the conditions being such as they were, when people were just sort of like, what do we do now? Was it easier to make that change as opposed to if all the bands were performing and working hard and just decided to make this change artistically? Is it easier to accommodate, not egos, but you're used to leading the band, and all of a sudden you have these people that you've mentioned that led their own bands, and do you think, I'm just wondering what your experience was, do you think that the pandemic issue made it easier for people to park their normal position in order to be part of a band?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
Okay. Short answer to a long question. I'm sorry, but I just kind of worked my way through that.
The short answer is yes. I think in a little bit more nuanced answer would be that yes, we were all itching to make music so badly it really didn't matter what the configuration was or what roles needed to change.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we start making those changes, you realize how magical some of that can be. And just gravitating toward trying to figure out what the best thing is for the ensemble is so much better than trying to figure out what do I do best and when is my chance to be showcased within this band.
Yeah.
And then I think a lot of that also, we're not veterans in the music by any means, but we've all been around a while, and we're not in our 20s. You know, so I think if we were all in our 20s, it would be very difficult.
I'm going to say we're not. You and I and them and us and all of us aren't. I know I'm not.
If we were, though,
and I know it every single morning. I know it every single morning when I wake up, too. I don't have to be reminded. Not with the mirror. I just know when I wake up I'm not 20 anyway.
You feel it.
I just know it. Yeah. I feel it. It's in my bones.
But to answer that question, yeah, in a more detailed way, is yes, it was much easier for us because of the forced changes that happened during that downtime. And hopefully we're kind of going to turn some more corners and gradually work our way back to a new sense of normal. We've been getting out there and playing on the road. We played at the Station Air in Nashville. We played the Romp Festival in Owensboro. Played all kinds of events in Eastern Kentucky and in Central Kentucky. We've got some tours scheduled for Colorado and South Carolina later this year, and then we're also moonlighting the whole band as a backing band for Cole Chaney. He's a great up and coming Kentucky songwriter. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I have heard the name. Yeah.
Okay, he's a great singer. He's 21 years old and he's just killing it, singing, writing songs. From my point of view, I think he's 21, but he's writing songs that a 51-year-old should be writing.
Oh,
he's writing great material, and he's from about as far east as you can go on I-64 before you get to West Virginia.
That's out there.
Boyd County, yep. I believe, yeah.
Let me ask
we've got a lot of good stuff going on.
I always ask if there's a website. I don't know if you've got one up for Wolf Pen Branch, but is there one? People can find where you're going. Okay, good.
We do. They can check out wolfpenbranch.com. We're on all the Facebook and Instagram. It's easy to find us there. Wolfpen is one word. Wolfpen Branch is two words.
Okay. Listen, when you go to Colorado, are you going to hook up with our buddy from Louisville?
Oh, Rich. Yeah, Rich Zimmerman. Yeah.
Poor boy can't pronounce the word. He cannot pronounce Louisville. He just can't.
He does the best he can.
I know.
Colorado. He does the best he can.
I know. Nice guy. I enjoyed that a lot. I had some fun with him. I enjoyed that when Rich and we're talking about Rich and Aaron were on the show, and we connected way out there in Colorado and back here also. Well, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Good musician. I enjoyed it. And I got all the music you mentioned to me, and I wanted to finding it all now.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the leads. I always do. I always follow up on those leads, and you, I respect your opinion so much that it was automatic for me to find it. So let's lead up then to Burning the Midnight Oil, which is doing so well right now on the charts.
Yeah, another point of gratitude here. We've had the song's been out for I guess a month, and it's been I guess 3 weeks in the top 10 on the Bluegrass Today chart. This week, it happened to be number 4 on that chart, and Burn the Midnight Oil is our fourth release, our fourth single release as a band, but it is my first as a songwriter and lead singer with this band.
Okay.
So that's another point about Wolfpen Branch is like 4 of the 5 of us do some lead singing, and for the most part, 3 of us is pretty evenly spread there. All 3 of us are pretty strong singers, but Burning the Midnight Oil, I wrote this song while we were recording the first batch of singles down in the eastern part of the state near the Red River Gorge. I decided to camp out, and it was like January, this was about a year ago, I decided to camp out and stay the night. We were recording at Ricky Watson's studio in Bay City, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I decided to camp out there and try to get some work done while I was in the evenings while everybody else was gone. And I thought, I'm going to try to write some songs here. And I really got to thinking about, it's a common theme in bluegrass music. There's a lot of songs about, you know, that sort of migration from the rural areas into the city to find work. And then I thought that I would build on that classic sort of bluegrass theme by adding some personal lived experience of my own, because as many of us in bluegrass do, I still work a day job, mm-hmm. and a lot of folks do wear a few different hats. I'm an electrician by trade. I write songs. I play the banjo. I play four or five other utility instruments on recordings. I host a radio program, and so on. Wear a lot of hats, but at the end of the day, it leaves us in this weird balancing act, trying to balance out the things that we're passionate for and the work that we do to make a living, and then last but not least, letting the folks around us know how much we appreciate them, love them, and care about them. So yeah, that's sort of the in a nutshell what this song is about: working an overnight shift in a factory and really just can't wait to get home. When the sun comes up, he's going to be making it home back to his loved ones.
Hmm. Well, it's a good song. It's a great song. I think it should be higher or where it's at, certainly. It's not done by a long shot. So with that introduction, I'll say goodbye to you, my friend. We'll get together again when
yes,
as soon as we can all travel freely, and I think it's coming real fast. Today the weather in my part of Kentucky was gorgeous. A little windy, a little rainy, but I mean basically the temperatures, I think, come back up. I don't know of anything. So we will you and I'll get together and just sit around and just talk about whatever.
We'll meet up and we'll post a selfie for everybody.
Absolutely, sure. Absolutely. All right. So let's, Aaron, I appreciate your friendship and your participation.
Back at you.
And so let's do this then. I'll say goodbye to you and I'll play for the audience Burning the Midnight Oil from Wolf Pen Branch. Great song. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Steve.
All right.